Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
What is going on, guys? Welcome back to Pure Evil MMA. I'm your host, as always, Evil Eddie, and it was a wild weekend. I know I always say that because I fucking love mixed martial arts, guys. And even though there was no UFC this weekend, Bellator pulled through, ending the heavyweight Grand Prix. Fedor Emelianenko getting knocked out by Ryan Bader. Absolutely crazy. I did a live stream. You guys can check it out on the Periscope. So thank you so much for tuning in. We have a wild show for everybody today. Joe Gennetti is going to be calling in. That's right. The guy who has the quickest submission victory in Ultimate Fighter history. It was like a 17-second submission against John Gunther. Well, if you don't know the backstory to that, Joe Gennetti went through the Ultimate Fighter, made it to the finale, unfortunately did not win, leaves the UFC. Really upset because he didn't get the contract. But the people that he beat get the contract. He goes back to Cage Titans. I went out to his last fight. Ends up being a draw. He gets another shot. Fresh new year, 2019. He's been training alongside some of the best over at AKA. Hanging out with Khabib, DC. And last night he pulled it out. He got the victory. TKO victory. Some people are saying it's kind of a controversial win. But how do you get 50 unanswered shots and get shit that it's not a good call? We're going to be talking to Joe about that and see what he has to say. See if he thinks that he has a shot to make it to the UFC now. Because he's calling out that he wants to be on the UFC London card. And this kid doesn't care who he fights. He will fight anybody. Which you gotta give him respect. For that. There's not many fighters out there that will fight anyone. I mean, you're putting your career on the line if you go in there, face a top talent, and you lose. But then again, if you go in there and face a top talent and win, remember, not many people thought that Conor McGregor was going to beat Nate Diaz, right? At least I didn't. Then he beats him, and it's the biggest win in Nate's career. Skyrockets him. Shows a lot of people he has what it takes to be a champion after all these years, getting the respect. Kind of a different story for Joe Gennetti. We're going to be talking to him in just a matter of minutes. Also, Mitch Raposo is going to be calling in, who was on the Cage Titans card last night, supposed to be making his pro debut, but then his opponent, he finds out at 8 a.m., is off the card. That's got to be so frustrating. Getting ready for your pro debut and something like that happening. Got to be super frustrating. So Mitch Raposo is going to be calling in. Also, Terry Phoenix calling in later on in today's show. We're going to be going for about an hour here, guys. Joe Gennetti should be calling in any second now. He's calling in 2 minutes. Let me know down below in the comments, like, who do you guys want Joe Gennetti to fight if he does make it to the UFC? There's a lot of people out there that don't think that he should be fighting somebody like Paddy Pimblett. He was calling out Paddy Pimblett. Paddy Pimblett was actually, he has an injury. So, he wasn't getting that, but it just shows how much balls Joe Gennetti has. And then the heavyweight Grand Prix coming to a finale. A refreshing year for mixed martial arts. Let me pull you guys into the full web here. Make sure to subscribe down below here on Pure Evil MMA. We are on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Spotify, Player FM, on YouTube. The reason why we've been going live on Periscope lately is we got a little bit in trouble for live streaming, and We got a couple of complaints there. But Ryan Bader last night, man, coming in not even as a heavyweight. He was such a dark horse going into this thing. He beats King Mo in the matter of seconds. James McSweeney reminded me. He beat King Mo the same way he beat Ryan Bader last night. And we got Joe Gennetti calling in right now. What's going on, JoJo?
What's up?
Not much, man. Huge fucking night for you last night, brother. Congratulations before we jump into anything.
Thank you.
So I got to ask you. I mean, everybody has been waiting anxiously to see you get into the UFC. We're going to be talking about if you think that that win last night would get you into the UFC, because you really want to fight anybody. You want to fight on the UFC London card. But before we talk about any of that, man, were you feeling the pressure going into this fight? I mean, I was at your last one. It went to a draw. It was similar, like you had a shot to finish it. Unfortunately, your opponent moved at the last second right when I thought the ref was about to step in there. Did you feel a lot of pressure going into this fight? Like, man, I need a win. Not only do I need a win, but I need a finish. Did you feel that pressure?
No, not really. I mean, it's something that me and Danella had talked about before. It's like this fight wasn't for the UFC. It wasn't for anybody else. It wasn't for my GM, my team, or anything. As much as it meant to them, that fight was just more for me and just getting it done for myself. Because a lot of people don't realize it's been almost a year to the day since I've won a fight, period. Because there's that 3-month, 4-month delay of fighting in the house and then actually airing on TV. It doesn't seem that far from people. But last time I fought and I won was the end of February, and that was when I fought in the semifinals. So it's been almost a year since I won a fight. So that win was more just for me personally. I didn't feel too much pressure.
And that fight that you're talking about in the semifinals, I think that was one of your best performances on The Ultimate Fighter, because it felt like I was watching a video game. You were just so fluent. Things were clicking on all cylinders. I was so excited when I saw you win that night. So now you finally got the shot to feel it once again, get the W. Man, and you've been training with some of the best in the entire sport, like DC and Khabib. What have you realized has been the biggest change since, you know, cross-training over with AKA? What do you think you've improved on the most?
Just honestly, the work ethic. I mean, I always have had a super hard work ethic, but it pushed me beyond where I think is my max. But like I've been saying, ever since I came home the first time, just my mentality. It's just more ferocious. It's more raw. The very last thing I said to Ryan White before I walked out there is I said, I don't care if I knock this kid out. I don't care if I tap him out. I said, but when I get out there, I'm going to take the center of the cage as soon as possible, and I'm going to hit him, and I'm going to get my respect. He's going to go, oh, this kid's not messing around. And that's exactly what I did. Every round, I ran out to the center and let him know, this is my cage. In the second round, he tried to rush me, and I hit him with a hard straight left, and it became a wrestling match that I dominated from there.
I mean, I've been following your opponent for a while. For people out there that don't realize who your opponent was, he's a tough son of a B, man. I mean, he has a couple of really nice wins. I follow him on social media. When you were going into this fight, man, you don't care who the opponent is, it feels like. I mean, I've even seen you call out some crazy, you know, athletes like Patty Pimlet, who unfortunately has an injury. We'll laugh about that a little later, man. But you're taking Barry. Did you know that if you beat him, it was going to prove even more? Like, I'm not, you know, one of these guys that is just going to fight people that I know I'm going to win. I want to fight people where I actually feel it's going to be competitive. So does it mean that much more for you, taking out somebody like Barry?
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, I posted about it after the fight, and it's not his fault, but Connor's been the guy that for years since I was an amateur, everybody's like, oh, he's the bigger, badder version of Joe. He's going to expose him. He's got the blueprint, da-da-da-da-da, kind of running their mouths for him. Meanwhile, I've never spoken bad about this kid in my life. So, you know, it was kind of just like, I said from the gate, I'm going to go in this fight and make a point out of it. I'm going to make a point. I'm the better grappler. I'm the better fighter. You're getting in my cage. It's not the other way around.
So let's jump into the meat and potatoes of things that people keep asking me to ask you about, because it really seemed like after the fight, people came to your defense when Flow Combat posted that post, and you thought that Cejudo versus Dillashaw was controversial. Check out this stoppage. And immediately the entire MMA scene jumped on that post, and I was like, are you guys kidding? There was like 60 unanswered shots. He wasn't able to land anything. He was trapped. What was the ref supposed to do? How do you feel about that, and what's your response to them?
Yeah, man. I mean, personally, it was just weird. I was kind of caught off guard. Like, I know MMA media is tough, and you got to be unbiased, and you can't pick favorites, but just somebody like to kind of almost attack me after what I, like, that performance, and like just try and make it seem so controversial where it wasn't. And like there's people that don't have that much knowledge of the game. Like even my girlfriend pointed out, if you're coasting off on my chin or pushing off my chest to try and get out of that triangle and you're moving, maybe I can even argue it then. But he wasn't pushing, he wasn't pulling, he wasn't blocking punches. His arms were rested across my chest, and I was punching him in the top of the head unanswered with no intelligent defense. And by the rules, that is why you stop a fight.
And honestly, man, when you were in there, it seemed like it meant so much that you got it, because it felt like you were giving it your all. Like, you had him locked up, you were transitioning to a couple things, looking for an arm bar, and he just, there was no way to stop him. He just kind of felt like, it really felt like you were really giving it your all, and this guy just wasn't calling it quits. You couldn't get him a tap. You needed the ref to step in, and you were just absolutely exhausted. But this time, a big difference I was able to tell with you is that you didn't stop. You didn't kind of, you know, take a breath, because let's face it, a lot of the people that are going to throw judgment can't even punch a balloon for 5 minutes without getting winded.
Yeah, man, 100%. And that's something I was trying to explain to people. I thought it was a great call by Steve Rita, but not only that, he came up to me and Connor prior to the fight, and he came to me first, and he said, "Hey, Joe, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell Connor in about 2 minutes. I understand the importance of this fight. I understand where you two gentlemen are in your careers." He goes, "I am going to give you both every opportunity to fight tonight. If you are in a bad position, I will warn you both, and I will let you fight as long as I see fit. But you must intelligently defend yourself, because I'm in here to keep you safe." He walked, I said, "Yes, Steve," da da da. He walked away. I turned around to my corner and I said, "Okay, we're fighting to the death. Not going to make the same mistake as my last fight. If I'm hitting you and I think I got you, I am going to just keep effing hitting you until he pulls me off you." And that's exactly what I did.
Sorry, Joe, I had to yell at the dogs. But listen, man, obviously this is a big win. Whether you felt the pressure or not, the goal really is to get back in the UFC. What are some of the responses that you're seeing on social media? Obviously, that's the goal, right? You want to get back to the UFC.
Yeah, 100%, man. I mean, maybe more now than ever, just because I got that taste and I was there for a short period of time, but I was in that world so deep and met everybody corporate and in the fight game of the UFC. And I fought in the Octagon, so I mean, I want to get back there, and I think I belong. And like I was saying before, everybody says I got my chance and I blew it. I didn't get anything. I fought for my chance. I won a preliminary fight. I won a semifinal fight. I was undefeated as a pro and an amateur prior to that show. If anybody got anything, it wasn't me. I earned that shot. Granted, I lost, but I earned that loss as well.
Now, did you talk to some of the people over at AKA? What were they saying? Did they get to see the clip, and what did they get to say about it? Because I know some of your teammates were responding on social media, which is cool, because they want you to join the club, obviously, over in the UFC. And before you answer that question, I got to relate to you, man, because if people out there don't realize it, when you make it to that stage, when you get the quickest submission in Ultimate Fighter history, I mean, and you see all these guys go on to the UFC, it's almost like getting a taste of college and then having to go back to high school. So, you know, exactly. Obviously you're thirsty for it. Everybody wants you to be there because you totally deserve it. So what were they saying, people that you train alongside with over at AKA or even at South Shore?
I mean, the guys at AKA, they haven't really seen the fight in too depth yet. I know a couple of them caught it last night. They all said great job. They're pumped. A lot of the holes that I've had prior, and especially in my fight with Harvey, I fixed. And my wrestling felt phenomenal, and I felt like it looked great last night. I hit a lot of things, more specific than people will ever know, specific takedowns, outside foot trips that we literally worked for days on days. And then even down to the stand-up, certain combinations. In that second round, when Connor hit that blitz that we all know he loves, I stepped back, hit him with a straight left to a duck under, to a high single. That was something that we worked, and, you know, Resendo was pumped about it. I talked to him on the phone. DC was pumped about it. So, I mean, it's just crazy when you work something so specifically and then actually do it in a fight.
Man, I've been dying to ask you this, and a lot of the fans that we've sent in fan questions wanted me to ask you. You got to train alongside Habib. What was that like, man? What was that experience like? That had to be something else. Was that the toughest person you ever really rolled with?
100%. Honestly, he made me feel like I never grappled a day in my life. He made me feel like a brand new grappler. It was crazy. But that's one of those things that carries on to the mentality, because now it's like all these people like ask, do you feel the pressure when you fight Josh Harvey? Do you feel the pressure when you fight Conor Berry? Like, this guy's big, this guy's strong. I stepped into the cage and trained with the greatest lightweight of all time. No, I am not stressed out about these people in Massachusetts.
Man, I also got to ask you, what's up with Mike Danella? I mean, are you guys need rehab, bro? You guys need Fortnite rehab. That's all I see you guys doing. If you're not training, I mean, Mike Danella, he like retired from MMA to play Fortnite. Why are you guys so obsessed with this game?
Bro, he's good, man. That's just how we kill time. And I mean, it's so funny how a stupid little game like that, and like, believe it or not, when it first came out, I was a huge Call of Duty guy, and Danella was the one that told me I had to start playing it, and I was like, this is the dumbest game ever. I will never play it, and now I play it all the time with him. But it's just cool when people can find little stuff like that to kindle friendships. I know Danella's got buddies that he used to hang out with when he was younger that I talk to now that he rekindles his friendships. I've got people I used to talk to in high school that I talk to now because we play Fortnite together. So it's just something cool that people bond over.
Also, man, you're doing it on Twitch as well, right? Are you still doing it on Twitch live?
Yes, sir. Every day I'm improving, getting better stuff. My buddy Isaac streams as well. He's been helping me improve the streams. Just another way to get out there and, you know, let fans know I'm not just some idiot that fights people every other month. I'm an idiot that plays video games like them, too.
So, moving forward with our conversation, before we let you go, I got to ask you about the next step. What's next? Because it seems like you want to fight on this London card. And when the fan questions were sent in, a good majority of those questions were, you know, why UFC London? Why do you want to get on that card?
I mean, first and foremost, I've never left the United States. I wouldn't mind going overseas. I like to travel. But, I mean, it wasn't really my decision of, like, which UFC card, boom, London. It was more so the fans. I mean, I've never even mentioned UFC London prior to this fight, and tons of people over in Europe, Dana White and Sean Shelby, and say, hey, we want him in the UK. We want him here. We want him in Europe. I don't know what it is about me, but I've drawn the European fans, and they want to see me fight. And if I have to go overseas to give them what they want, I'm down for it. Because, I mean, as much as we talk about it, they want the fans what they want. Well, the fans want Joe Jannetty in London in March, so that's what I'm trying to give them.
Why did you call it Paddy Pimblett? I mean, was he just, like, you know, the biggest name to call out? Probably have a chance, because you've been calling out some pretty big names. I got to give you a lot of credit. And that does show a lot of character. Like, you don't care who it is. You just want to fight. You want to put on an entertaining fight for the fans out there. Why did you call Paddy Pimblett? I know you weren't where he was injured, but why him?
Yeah, man, I've seen Paddy Pimblett's name floating around for a while now. I don't even know how long. And I don't really follow PMA local scene, but his name just somehow always made it on my phone. But somebody actually mentioned him to me on Twitter, and I was like, isn't he a 45? And I guess his last two fights have been at 55. So I was like, hey, he's a big enough name that a local MMA scene in the UK is getting his name to me out here in Massachusetts. I always see him popping up on my Twitter. That'd be a big fight. That'd be the hometown hero. And I know that if I went over there to fight him, they'd be really, obviously they'd be rooting for him and against me, but it wouldn't really be bad blood because people want to see me over there. So we could have a good scrap and then go have a beer afterwards, no matter how it went. So I figured one of the biggest 55ers in USA, biggest 55ers in London, we'll have a banging fight and then go have some beers afterwards. The people are still down for it, but unfortunately he's hurt and has to get some surgeries.
So obviously it's a fresh new year. You're right back on track here, Joe, with this win in 2019. When would you like to fight next, whether it's for the UFC or Cage Titans? When are you trying to get back in there? What is your game plan right now? I know you're trying to enjoy yourself, you know, play some, you know, watch Punisher, play some video games right now. But where do you see these next couple of months, you know, how do you see it blooming?
My fight camp starts tomorrow, just like it does after every fight. The Monday after the fight, I'm back in the gym. I'm eating eggs and turkey bacon for breakfast, getting my weight down. People don't understand how about this life I am. Like, 3 days from now, my buddies are going to ask me to eat some delicious food that I'm not going to be able to eat because I'm going to be cutting my weight back. Like, I'm always getting ready to fight. I'm always waiting for the call. Cage Titans is in April, so I got a long time. It's 2 months until then. So that's what I'll be getting ready for. Until then, Sean Shelby knows where to get at me. So, I mean, if he gives me a call, I'll fight on any of their cards. I'm just getting back to it tomorrow, back to the grind. That's all I can do, man.
Joe, I want to thank you so much for joining me once again here on Pure Evil MMA. We've been following your career way before the Ultimate Fighter even started, man. So it's awesome catching up with you and seeing everything really unravel. See you put these pieces together, creating a dream life, man. We only live once.
Yes, sir.
And you can do whatever the hell you want in this world as long as you put enough dedication and put your entire self into it. And that's exactly what you're doing. And it's really exciting watching everything unfold here. So, Joe, thank you so much. You know what we like to do at this point. If you have any shout outs, anything at all that you want to say, sponsors, anything, the floor is now all yours.
Just everybody at South Shore Sport Fighting. You've been there since the jump. Everybody at AKA that I've just grown with and bonded with lately. You guys have helped me so much. All my sponsors, PAF and current, Receptor CBD, on it for all the supplements. You guys are the best. Defense Soap, Impact Mouth Guards, keeping all my teeth in my head. Everybody, I really appreciate it. And 2019 is going to be the year where big things are happening.
Oh, man, I saw you also got kneed in the nuts yesterday. Shout out to your cup guy.
Yeah, Armored Nutshell. Dude, nobody even noticed. I got probably a minute into that fight, I got a perfect knee to the nuts, and I almost threw up.
So crazy. All right, really quick, when are you going to be streaming next for Fortnite if people do want to, you know, tune in and watch you? And I'll drop that link down below if people want to go follow you.
So I'm probably thinking Friday night because I'm a nerd and I don't go out. So probably Friday night.
All right. Thank you so much. Oh, wait. Last thing, did you catch the Bader versus Fedor? What did you think of that? Did you at least catch the clip?
I did catch the clip. All I gotta say is, wow, Ryan Bader. I honestly want to know what the fight would have been like with Fedor in his prime, but nonetheless, I still think it's super impressive.
All right. Thank you so much, Joe. Enjoy the rest of your day. Congratulations, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Eddie. See you later.
There you guys go. Joe Jannetty, Ultimate Fighter. Quickest submission finish in Ultimate Fighter history. You know how many seasons that is? Do you know how many years? I was fucking in high school for Ultimate Fighter season one. I remember my math, social studies teacher, everyone was talking about it that following week. Absolutely crazy to see somebody's career. That's one of my favorite things about broadcasting and doing this thing is seeing guys coming up. Not only am I talking to guys who are already in the UFC, or already in Bellator, but the best part is seeing young up-and-comers, and that is one of our next guests, Mitch Raposo, is going to be calling in about 5 minutes here, who was supposed to fight on last night's card. Unfortunately, his opponent fell out. 8 a.m., he gets his phone call. He spent weeks and weeks in camp training alongside Rob Font. He trains alongside some pretty big names, guys. I mean, here on the East Coast, you got people like Joe Lozon. Shout out to Marty Navis, who got his win last night, who fights under Joe. That's my favorite part about this. And Mitch Raposo, man, he had to be so frustrated with that. Like, I can only think about putting all this time and dedication and not eating throughout the holidays and going through this weight cut. And then you finally get there, fight morning. You're all waiting. You're ready to go. And then you get that phone call right when you open up your eyes. That's got to be devastating. We're going to be talking to him, figure out what his plan is next. Let me message him really quick here. Oh, Justin Ledet just messaged me. Justin Ledet, you know what? I can have Justin call in now. Hey, you want to call in 20 minutes? Want to call in 20 minutes? Okay, so Justin Ledet just texted me. He's going to be fighting Johnny Walker. February 2nd, Johnny Walker, February 2nd. He's in Brazil right now. He said a couple minutes ago, what time zone are you in? Brazil is 4 hours ahead of Central Time. Oh, it's late there. You want to, oh, shit, man. Want to call in quickly right now? 5 minutes of your time. Let's see if he responds here. Guys, what did you think about Bellator's card last night? Aaron Pico, how about that? Aaron Pico getting knocked out last night. One of the biggest stars for the prospect side of Bellator. Speaking of prospects, Mikey Kimble has an upcoming fight. You can call from right here on Facebook. Man, he's probably fucking tired if they're 4 hours ahead right now of Central Time. Oh, wait, so it's like 11 in Brazil right now? I'm so bad at that kind of shit. let's see what happens and unfolds with that. Also, Mitch Raposo and then Terry Phoenix is going to be calling in just a little bit as well. But, man, I enjoyed this heavyweight Grand Prix. Some people are a little upset that it took a little long. Here, let's go over to Instagram quick. But you know what? Bellator has really been making a big impact in these last couple of years. They really have. You know what? I actually have it. Look at that. Ryan Bader, the double champ. And some people know, what does that mean for Bellator being a, like, how much better that belt looks compared to the new UFC belt. That looks like an actual belt. That looks like fucking championship gold. It doesn't look like some Walmart weird Power Ranger. And maybe the fans are being a little hard. Maybe it will grow on them eventually. But that looks like a fucking championship title. If I was an 8-year-old kid, I saw that, I'd say, I want that. That looks like adult belt. That looks like an adult belt. I can't get over this this new belt. Why change the belt and not like some of the broadcasting shit, like the visuals and stuff like that? I don't get it, man. I understand they want change, but now Bellator is becoming the new UFC. Who knows? Maybe by 2022, Bellator will be the top dog. Call me crazy. You never know. You see a lot of fighters getting really upset, really frustrated with how they're being treated and going over to Bellator. Look at Rory McDonald, Ryan Bader, Roy Nelson, Matt Mitrione, Gegard Mousasi. I mean, come on. Bellator is doing a great job. Moving to 2019, wrapping up this Grand Prix. Ryan Bader, the double champ. Who should he fight next? Fedor Emelianenko. Wow. I actually shared my reaction last night. I couldn't believe it. Ryan Bader was such an underdog going into this card. Not even as a heavyweight. I was there. I was cage side for Bader versus Mitrione. And Bader just dismantled Matt. Bader destroyed King Mo. And like I said, James McSweeney showed me that was the exact way he beat King Mo. Is the same way he beat Fedor. How about that, man? Great fucking for Bellator. And all, you also have to consider, you got to consider this, guys. ESPN now holds the UFC, right? There's only going to be four cards on ESPN, the actual ESPN. They are doing the prelims, which I think is fucking genius. It is only $5 a month, I know. I'm happy with ESPN Plus. I'm enjoying ESPN Plus, do not get me wrong. But now you have Bellator on Spike, well, Paramount now. I wish they would do more cards, to be honest. Now they have a better roster than they used to. They have a lot of good upcoming prospects as well. Jack Swagger last night getting the win, showing that he has more credential than fucking CM Punk. Jesus. But I think Bellator's going to have an even more successful year because you can't watch the top talent in the UFC unless you pay for it. And the way I compare this is, imagine I have to pay $5 to watch the World Series. You want to see the best of the best teams go at it one-on-one? You want to see the best fighters go at it one-on-one? UFC is supposed to be the top dog. Put that out there. Grow the fan base. Yeah, you could say they've been doing that. They've done that on FS1. They did that back in the day on Spike. But I think the best days were on Spike when it was free. When it was, you know, they really dedicated that as the guy channel back in the day. And it's so politically incorrect now. The social justice warriors would shut that down nowadays if you label the channel guys. But you have Bravo, don't you? And there's no one has an issue. No one says, that's not cool. I watch fucking Bravo. I mean, they have some good shows on there. I even watched RuPaul's Drag Race. But back in the day, they used to have it as the guy channel. And the UFC was on there. They had the Ultimate Fighter on there all the way up to the season with Michael Bisping. All the way up to the season with Michael Bisping and our boy Mayhem Miller. And I think they had grown the population of mixed martial arts fans in that time. Mitch Raposo calling in right now. Mitch Raposo calling in. What's going on, Mitch? How you doing, brother?
What's up, bro? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man, and I can already tell in your voice. Let me switch over to the scene. I was just telling the audience here what was going on with you. And people who've been tuning into Pure Evil MMA have been listening to you the past year or so, year and a half so, on this podcast and seeing you on the vlogs after your fights. And we've been enjoying watching your career bloom. And finally, you had a chance to make your pro debut. You go through the weight cut. you stay away from cupcakes, and then what happens? You get that call at 8 in the morning. How does this call go? What's going through your head? Start us off right when you see that phone ring in. What did you feel in your gut?
So, man, I was a little bit of a tough time sleeping throughout the night of my fight day, so I'm usually up pretty early. Yeah, I'm just like anxious, I'm ready to fight, I'm just excited. I just have a hard time standing still on my fight days, right? So I'm up 7 o'clock in the morning, I make my coffee, I'm relaxed, I'm shadow boxing, you know, listening to good music, good vibes. My coach Brian Raposo calls me at about like probably like 8:05, something like that. And that's not out of the norm. He usually always calls me fight day. He does his signature kind of like, yeah, what's up, Mitchell? How you doing? You ready to go? You know what I mean? He kind of gives me that, like, it's fight day. Let's do this. You know what I mean? Because me and him are extremely close. Me, him, Tommy. So, but then he calls, and I'm like, what's up, coach? I've been around sports since I was a little kid, and I've heard stories, like, so many stories already, like, growing up in the sport of, like, fighters on TV talking about, dude, I got my call from my manager, and I called from my coach.
Yeah.
The fight was out. So I could just hear in his voice that, I'm like, what's up, coach? Like, what's up, man? And I just knew it, man. I was like, shit. Like, today's my day, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was going to happen to me eventually, and, you know, something crazy was going to happen to me a week ago, whatever. And he drops the bomb on me. He's like, yo, Lyle's out.
What exactly happened? Like, how did he drop out? Did he get injured? Like, do you know what happened? Why he dropped out?
He said that. I immediately bawled. Like, I thought, not bawled. Like, I thought crying. I'm like, I put a lot of work into this, man. I just felt fireworks. It was going to be fireworks for me last night. I just knew it. I mean, I was going to put on a show, man. I was going to get my first knockout. And it was going to be an absolute violent mauling. I just knew it. I had that violent feeling. And so I guess from it was happening while I was sleeping. I'm just like, well, I can't hear me. I do my normal thing. We're at the weigh-ins. Go eat. Go home. Relax. Go to like my traditional little weigh-in dinner I do with my best friends. Being about the three of my best friends. Like, I went home. Went to bed around midnight. But I guess around midnight, Paul Fair called my manager, Tyson. And told him the news. I guess he had some type of thing with his apartment, and his wife didn't want him to leave. And Mike Pulver doesn't get enough credit. This dude, you know what I mean? I did my part as well, though. You know what I mean? I used to not be a great ticket seller. I used to be whatever, 20 tickets, whatever. I mean, I pushed 80 tickets to this. I know we're going to clear 100 next time. I was able to, push a lot of tickets, and he was able to pull some drinks for me. He ended up, tripling the kid's salary, sweeten the kid's pot. You know what I mean? Granted, the kid was coming in to get his ass kicked. There's no doubt about that. But, we're talking, the kid tripled the salary. So it's like, Mike pulled some serious strings for the fight to happen. And the kid was down to do it. He's like, oh, you're offering me that? Okay. Coming back like 10 minutes, and Mike was going to put him on a train. He was going to move us to the first fight of the night. Wow. It was going to be all for this guy, man. Just come and get his ass kicked, make his money and leave. Just Mike was doing all that just for me, man. Honestly, the dude deserves so much credit. And after that, Mike still paid me my show and my win money.
Nice.
And he, he gave me a percentage of the ticket still of the people who didn't refund, which is, the most that a promoter could do for me, you know what I mean? Mike's a smart guy, and he realized, hey, I could either make Mitch's fan happy now, you know what I mean, and lose a little bit of money. And so for next time, they buy tickets again. Mitch sells a great amount of tickets, gets a big, huge crowd there, and I can invest in this kid. Or he could have made a a decision basically on business to make a short buck and not offer any refunds or not pay me, right? So, he's the man. But, Mike Lyle comes back and says, oh, I can't make it. So, this is crazy. I guess Mike was trying to do some kid in Vermont. He almost did it, but then he had to come up. He offered some kid in New York the same thing, triple the kid's salary. Kids like, oh, let me search up Mitch's name, search up my name whenever you hear that. I'm like, whatever, dude. So they're doing this all night, man. Tyson and Mike, man, they're working extremely hard trying to get me a fight. And we had that kid from New York. It was a great fight. I was going to step up. You know what I mean? I was ready to go, man. Anybody that took that kid, obviously within reason, you know what I mean? But we were ready to fight. I was ready to go. It didn't work out. Brian calls me around 10:30 because we were going to know noon was the deadline. And, Brian calls me at 10:30, tells me no fight. try to refund some tickets. Let you know the news. And honestly, he was telling me, and I didn't care about the money. I didn't care about any of that. I told him, look, cut to the chase. Am I fighting tonight or not? And he told me, unfortunately, you're not, man. And I started crying. I mean, it is what it is. It sucks. I put in so much work to this, and I had a huge crowd coming out. You know what I mean? Like, Randy, my boy Randy was on the card. It was going to be fireworks, man, for my whole team. For, you know what I mean? Like, if it was for him, it was going to be for me. It was going to be such a great night.
Yeah, and, you have a lot of people come out for your fights. Every time I'm there, like, last time I went to your fight at Ammo, like, your family was outside supporting you. Like, it's unreal how many people come out.
Yeah, like, I get so, you know, it's tough sometimes. You know, you got the crazy ticket sellers. Like, Chris O'Brien's a crazy ticket seller. Randy Costa, absolute killer. Like, and obviously, the dude can sell out a freaking place, man. His numbers for a local show is pretty insane. You know what I mean? So, but, I mean, it's a little tough to me sometimes because kids my age do have the finance is not really there, like, even, like, older people. Like, I mean, I just turned 20. I'm a kid, you know what I mean? A lot of my friends are 18, 19, like, you know what I mean?
I got to ask you, Mitch. Like, huh? I got to ask you, even though you're anxious to get in there and make your pro debut after the fight fell out, what were your coaches saying? Did they think that was a smart idea to take an opponent on short notice? Or, you know, what were your coaches saying? Like, did they want you to do that?
Yeah, to be honest, I feel like my coaches are everything in me, especially Tyson as well. Dude, man, all three of them just, they do their thing, man. Like, Brian Tommy watched the tape. Tyson also watched the tape. Brian Tommy's obviously decision is ultimate. They have the ultimate decision. Tyson, you know what I mean? But they just mesh so well, so there's never really anything. And they were down, you know what I mean? I'm just so well-rounded that it's tough for you to put someone in there with me that I'm not going to be able to really, like, expose. You know what I mean? On the feet, you know what I mean? If they're a wrestler, cool, try taking me down, bro, because it's not going to happen. And try finding me on the feet, because it's not going to happen. Oh, you're a striker, cool, try stopping this double leg. You know what I mean? It's not, like, it's, I have, I mean, obviously within reason, but the guys that they were offering, I mean, on 12 hours notice, they weren't any better than Matt Lyall. I'll say that right now. You know what I mean,
yeah.
And I think Matt Lyall. My dad was like, Mitch, what do you think, man? Like, this guy is kind of, man, I was gonna kill that dude. I know I was, man. Like, that dude, I was gonna absolutely murder this dude. And it sucks that he didn't show up, but someone can get it. You know what I mean? Next fight, April, whatever. You know what I mean, whatever's next, you can't just get it. It is what it is.
That's my next question. Like, I know it's so frustrating, and now you've already went through the weight cut. You went through all of that, so I bet you're even more anxious now to get your pro debut. When is that supposed to happen now?
Yeah, right now, it sucks, man. Like, everybody knows, right? Any fighter listens to this right now, we want to see what I'm about to say. After win, lose, whatever, right? Obviously, the win is most important, whatever. But after a fight, man, there's always like a week. The week after a fight is just such a relief. It's such like a damn. Like, you know, I get it. You go out, you make your money. You know, you eat a lot, you do your thing, and I didn't get to have. And honestly, I never had this experience. Like, I never noticed how bad, how good that feels until now. You know what I mean? Because I didn't get to have that. It's like, well, I did all the work to get to have that like victorious feeling. Waking up on Sunday morning, waking up realizing you just beat some dude's ass. You know what I mean? You're 1-0. I'm climbing into your seat. Like, I'm working my ass. I'm doing it all. Doing everything I said I was going to do. And waking up, just going to eat wherever I wanted, going to hang out with my buddies all day, whoever. And so I didn't get to have that. And it sucks, man. It really sucks. Tyson was working on something maybe next year for Combat Zone, but one of my coaches can't make it. And honestly, Combat Zone, I'm not going to sell any tickets. This is my tour review. I want to make a statement. I want my support system there. This isn't my second pro fight. This isn't my second amateur fight. This is my professional debut. And I want to. My coaches agreed to. We're gonna wait. I mean, maybe Bellator. That would be a pretty big pro debut in 3 weeks. But the chances are pretty slim. I mean, that card's already kind of filled up. And you know, I mean, putting a top prospect like me on the card, finding the right opponent on 3 weeks, always might be tough to do. But Tyson in is one of the best at what he does. So I would have put it past him, but I think the chance that we're looking at, man, is Mike Bolvera case study in April. Yeah, man, I think it's more time for me to keep my momentum going. I'm going to get back in the gym tomorrow, and I think April, we're going to do my pro debut. It's going to be ASAP, you know what I mean? Without a doubt. I mean, I don't take time off. I'm in the gym every single day, so whenever a fight's ready to pop off, I'm ready to go.
Right now, pretty much, you're saying that you got fighter blue balls. Like, you're ready to go and get the release.
Sure.
Was it weird sitting there watching everyone else fight and knowing that, you know, that was supposed to be you?
Sucks.
dude, it stopped. Like, it just was not fun, man. Like, I was there, and I was with my buddies, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm just like, this sucks.
No.
No offense to the guy to the enemy. I'm a competitive kid, though. I have no problem being, I mean, some people call it Eric or whatever, but watching the fights early in the night, man, and I'm just watching some of these guys, and I'm just like, dude, like, this isn't like, I mean, there's no shot of knocking anybody, but, man, I didn't know I was going to put on a good show, put on what the fans deserve. My boy Randy, of course, came through. That kid, I mean, absolute freaking stud. Goes there, takes care of business in 40 seconds. That kid has the shortest fight I've ever seen, and obviously probably the most exciting fight I've ever seen in a short amount of time. So he went out there, he took care of business. I mean, his fight was fireworks. Some of those fights were like sloppy. They weren't fun. Like, they weren't fun to watch. They kind of pissed me off. You know what I mean? Like, this is, I didn't want to be there, so I wanted to go home. I left after Randy fought, you know what I mean? Because I was there for him, and obviously to handle some business with Mike. So, I mean, it is what it is. It sucked. It absolutely sucked being there, but I saw my boy win, so I ended up leaving. You know what I mean? It sucked.
Randy's the real deal, man. I'm really excited to see what happens with him.
My boy.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's in the UFC really soon. I mean, this day and age.
I'll say, me and him, we talk about it every day. And, I mean, obviously, he had a quicker start. He's pretty good than me. He's got four fights that have stopped none. I'm telling you, I think he's going to get in the UFC at the end of the year 2019. Then I'm going to be right after him in 2020. And this is going to be the most momentum. Then you got Robin, Calvin, Bogniak, Lozon, of course. Well, they're all doing huge shit in the show anyway. They're already killing it in the UFC. And I'm telling you, I think Randy's going to do it this year. I'm going to do it 2020. And New England MMA, man, I'm telling you, they're going to have two big-time prospects, like, right off the bat. And I think that's exactly how it's going to go down. I mean, that kid, he's going to get in this year. I don't see why not. You know what I mean? He's not at all. The kid's not at all, so I don't see why not. I'm going to be right there right after him in 2020.
Also, Mikey Kimball as well making things happen.
It's a great fight, you know what I mean? But he's fighting him and Duma. Duma's my boy. That kid is absolute hard-nosed savage. I'm sure, I train with him a lot more. Me and Kimbo are cool. I mean, like, we have that kind of mutual respect. He's a young killer in the game. I mean, he sees me that way. So, like, it's kind of like we just have that mutual respect. We, like, you know what I mean? But obviously, Duma's my boy. I train with him a lot more than I train with Mike. Man, I think it's going to be a great fight. You know what I mean? But Mike, Mike's the next one. He's marketing himself the right way. At the end of the day, you know this. I mean, and you've even brought this up by interviewing me. You got to have that kind of, like, that it about you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I honestly, like, it's crazy to me. That's what blows my mind. Is I haven't even, like, my amateur experience, whatever, people can talk shit if they want. But, like I said, I don't even have a big knockout yet or a big, like, stoppage. I don't even have that yet. And my buzz, and I had just, like, I can count 15 people that came up to me yesterday, man, how they were so bummed that I wasn't on the card. So that just shows you, man, somebody, like going back to Mike Kimball, he promotes himself the right way. He must see TV, right? And I do that. Randy does that. So Mike, man, he's the killer, and I think him and Duma are going to have, a great fight. Duma's an absolute beast, man. So that's going to be, I'm interested to see how that fight plays out. Yeah, I think it's going to be a huge fight for both.
I also got to ask you, you didn't get to see the main event with Joe Jannetty, obviously. Did you get to see the replay? What were your thoughts there?
I saw the finish, and I don't know, man. I didn't get to watch the fight yet, right? But I heard Connor was winning the fight. And Connor, we're in the third round. The dude's two rounds up. You got, you're in a triangle. What Connor did, his head looked like he was about to squeak out. And come on, man, I understand it with elbows, but man, we're talking, these are two high level pros with wins on their record. This is, but people don't understand, like, if you go 5-6 in R, your UFC, you're on the UFC's radar, you lose a fight, you gotta win at least three in a row. You know what I mean? You gotta win at least three in a row to get back on the UFC's radar. Most likely, right?
Yeah, 100%.
And, so you gotta, like, it's the same thing with the TJ Cejudo thing. I do think honestly, I think this was way worse than TJ and Cejudo. Don't get me, I think it was way worse. I think JoJo, I'm not saying JoJo wouldn't finish them. I think JoJo's a killer. I just think maybe they should have just waited a little bit longer. Like, come on, like, the guy's like, man, I think I'm already hitting him. I mean, I it didn't look like he was hitting him very hard, you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, JoJo's an absolute star. The kid, I know he didn't have the fluency he wanted in the cup finale, and it was unfortunately cut. That kid deserves to be in the UFC, and I think, you know what I mean, I'm happy for him getting the win, man. I think the finish was just stupid, though. It was kind of, eh, you know what I mean? I know JoJo wouldn't want to, I know JoJo's happy he got the win, but I know the type of competitor he is. He wishes he kind of had a little, no controversy. You don't want, and then after, man, you don't want to win the biggest thing of your life, because we all know every fight's the biggest fight of our lives. We don't want to win it and have people, oh, man, yeah, with this. Like, you know, you don't want controversy. You want clear cut, like nobody can say shit. You know what I mean? You don't want, simple as that, right?
100%. I also got to ask you, you brought up something against TJ versus Henry Cejudo. That is your division. Henry Cejudo was trying to fight for, you know, to save your division. Do you think that that's going to happen, or do you think they get a rematch? What are your thoughts there? Do you think, what do you think?
I don't know, man. I was at the card, and, man, who's in the flyweight division? Like, I can't even name.
Oh, that's
like,
right. You were there. I was checking out your Instagram. You actually, you were in attendance with your boys.
Yeah, but like, who's there? Like, I don't know, like. It's like, who's in the division? I can't even, like, you know what I mean? I'm telling you right now, Big Captain, I go on the UFC and I want to fight. That's just, I could probably call up, you know what I mean, Dustin Ortiz, you know what I mean? Like, there's no guys. Like, who am I going to fight? In my opinion, the fight was just, I think Cejudo was a superstar. You know, I think he made that flyweight title something. I say that right now. You know what I mean? He did it in one fight. He did what Mighty Mouse couldn't do in 11 titles. But he did it in one fight. Right? And I think if he was champion this whole time, I think the division would be one of the strongest in the UFC. I think Mighty Mouse, he's amazing, did what he did. I do think his personality kind of kind of killed the division. And you know what? Cejudo went to fight, takes on TJ right off the bat. Come on, man. Like, you can't, that's a competitor. People want to see that. People don't want to see, I'm going to go power wash my fans, blah, 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 pay me more money. But yes, we don't need to get paid. We don't need to get paid, but Cejudo's a smart man. He went out there, he starts TJ, whatever. I still think TJ is a better fighter. Boy, I mean, he did what he did, and he beat TJ. Cejudo just made himself a superstar, and he's going to make more money now. You know what I mean? And I think Dana White gets flat with him out. He's a huge Dana White fan, whatever. Dana White's Dana White, and then one day he's going to be my boss. You know what I mean? So obviously, I should. But, like, he said it before. You make the guys who fight, the guys who step up, those are the guys the fans love, and those are the guys who make a lot of money. You know what I mean? And that's just the way it is. You don't have to be, so who's a Olympic gold medalist wrestler? You know what I mean? But he's a superstar now. You know why? Because he went up. He made the flyweight division very interesting. You're I beat this guy. Oh, let me get TJ. Let me get the guy above me. Let me get the pound for pound bantamweight goat. Let me get him. You know what I mean? So it's like that. I think it's a good thing. But at the end of the day, I honestly think TJ proved. Come on, man. The guy made 125, and I don't think he looked as bad as people think he did, man. I really don't. Like, I don't think he looked that bad. But the fact that TJ, I think he kind of proved. I'm happy if they keep it because, like I said, I can go to either one, right? I think eventually I'm going to move up to 135 anyway, but whatever. They keep it what it is. But I think TJ proved, listen, he's a 135-pound champ, right? And I honestly think he's too small for 45, but he's small. He's a small enough guy to make 125, and he's a champion at 135. I think he proved, if there's six guys in the flyweight division anyway, move up those top six guys to 135. If not, if they keep it, I think they should just sign up. A bunch of talent, you know what I mean, keep doing, do what they do, you know what I mean, there's obviously tons of flyweight talent in the world, so it's like, it's kind of like, it can go, I can understand both sides of the coin, you know what I mean, but like I said, TJ kind of proved, he obviously didn't beat Cejudo, and obviously Cejudo's probably bigger than some bantamweight, he's bigger than TJ, yeah, TJ kind of proved that, he went down to 125, and he made the weight, and he's a king at 135, So I think he proved, he could do both, you know what I mean, so why can't these other guys at flyweight do both, right, you know what I mean,
yeah, and
kind of like,
Luckily for you, you're so young that you're obviously still growing. You're not going to stop growing for the next, you know, six, seven years.
Yeah, but no, without a doubt, man, it's just like, yeah, man, they got enough shortest guy. Like, man, if I was like 5 foot or some shit, man, like, or 5'1", like John Dobson or some shit, Dobson's a freak. Yeah, I mean, he does his thing at 135. I think he's going to be better at 135. But I got some height to me, man, so like, yeah, man, I'm not the shortest guy. But I think me putting on mass is honestly inevitable, and I think I'm going to be probably even better at 35. Hey, they keep, I'll go back down. I got options, man. I think I can do both, and I think that's something the UFC likes anyway. So, I mean, we're gonna see where this goes. Right now, I'm just focused on getting my first pro win. Yeah, I mean, I know it's tough not to look in the future because I do have a lot of buzz and hype around me, but I'm excited to get this pro debut out of the way, man. I cannot wait. I mean, after yesterday, I'm itching to get back in there, so I cannot wait.
My last question to you, what did Rob say to you about all this? Did you talk to Rob? Because, he's been through this before.
Yeah, he actually texted me this morning, and I saw him get hit the fight. He said, what's up, yo? And I was just, I talked to him very briefly. He was walking Randy out. And then he texted me this morning. He asked me what's next. And Tyson even told me, it's like, well, this happened to Rob. This happened, I think it was the day before. Yeah, I think he was supposed to fight. I remember, I didn't even know Rob at the time, but I was obviously a fan of the sport. UFC 204, I think he was supposed to fight Ian West Hill or something like that. And he was supposed to fight in England. I remember that, and his fight got pulled. And I never knew why. Tyson told me, like, I'm always talking about this fight, but it was Sean Shelby called me. Rob was caught in his last pound. and the guy was out of the fight. You know what I mean? Like, this happens. It's gonna. It might happen to you again. You know what I mean? It is what it is. You got to roll with the punches in the sport. The great roll with the punches. The great. You know what I mean? There's no superstition bullshit. There's no. You gotta be able to roll. This is a fucking shit happened. It's crazy. I could have fought first last night. I was gonna fight 12th, one of the main features of the card, and I was gonna go move on and get fight first. That wasn't gonna faze me. It is what it is. You gotta roll with the punches. It's like the fight game's crazy, and it is what it is. It happened to me. It might happen to me again. Who knows? I'm ready to just get back to work. You know what I mean? It is what it is. The fight game. This is what I've done my whole life. This is who I am. So it's like I'm not. I thought it is what it is. Whatever happens, I'm gonna roll with it, and we'll see. You know what I mean? April pro debut, and I think I'm gonna have some better luck this time. You know what I mean?
Mitch, I want to thank you so much for joining us here on Pure Evil MMA once again. Looking forward to what 2019 brings you, my man. And you know what we like to do at this point in the interview? I hand the imaginary microphone over to you. If you have any shout-outs, sponsors, anything at all, the floor is now all yours.
And a huge, huge shout-out to Regimen Training Center. And obviously, my new strength and conditioning coach, Mike Fernandez at Infinite Fitness. And I've never felt so good going to a fight in my life. And like I'm talking like, I've never felt like, just like, in my sparring, in my pure power. Dude, I'm telling you, I've never felt like this before. And he's just an absolute genius. So, you know, a huge shout out to him. You know, top game manager, Tyson Chardia, best in the game. Ralph Font, Randy Costa, Calvin Cater, you know what I mean? Brian Raposo, Tommy Texera. So, you know what I mean? Those are the guys. And we're going to get ready for April. You know what I mean? I'll see you guys there. My pro debut. And so, get this ball rolling.
Mitch, I'll talk to you soon. Hopefully, I'll see you at Bellator if you're going to be there. I'll be ringside on press row, so maybe I'll catch you by the bathrooms or something. We'll catch up. But
yeah, for sure, Bo, you'll interview us on, all right?
Other than that, man, have a great night, and you know you'll get that release sooner than later. So we're looking forward to it.
Thank you. Have a good night, buddy.
Later. There you guys go, Mitch Raposo, training alongside some of the best in the sport. Like you said, when I said Rob, I was talking about Rob Font. He trains alongside Rob. For a while now. Let me get Terry set up here. Terry Phoenix Cartwright. Hey, are you ready? Let me see if Justin Ledette messaged me back. No, so he's probably fucking passed out. I'm gonna tell him. You know what? I'll wait till I'm done with the Terry interview. If he hits me up, he hits me up. But Justin Ledette, man, he's a couple of days away from making his fight against Johnny Walker with an amazing 2018 with that debut that he had. I was absolutely blown away. He's a goofy character. He kind of seems nerdy, but, man, he's fucking dangerous. He's long. He's lanky. And Justin Ledette, man, in his experience inside the UFC already, he has a performance of the night bonus. He's fought people like Chase Sherman in an all-out battle. His last couple of fights have been electrifying. And I got to say, even though he has one loss in his entire career, he's got a bunch of submissions, two finishes, and now he's going up against Johnny Walker. If he gets past him, it will be huge for his career. So I'm really anxious to talk to Justin Ledette, and maybe he'll call in tonight. Let me see if Terry is ready. Hey, my man. Call this number. Let me know what you guys think down below about Joe Gennetti's fight. If you think the ref should have stopped it? I shared the video. You heard what Mitch had to say, but in that position where it was a bunch of unanswered shots, Joe was landing some elbows. I'm trying not to be biased. I think that maybe it could have been controversial, but when you're a fighter, like Mitch was saying, you don't want to hear that when you get a win. It's not Joe's fault that the ref stepped in. He peppered him with, what, 50, 60 unanswered shots. What are you supposed to do as a ref? Let somebody get pounded? What do you guys think about this? Am I being biased? And do you think it was enough for Joe to get back in the UFC? Or like Mitch said, do you think that he needs two more fights? Because that's the truth as well. You know, if you're in the UFC, you have a chance, and then they drop you. It's very, very rare that if you win one fight, they're like, all right, we're going to get you back in the UFC. He's had two fights, one being a draw, which he almost finished. The second fight, which was last night, he gets the W. So I'd say, you know, maybe by the end of this year, if Joe goes in there, get two more finishes, does it in fashion, he'll get the attention of Dana White once again. But they're bobbling so much right now. I think his best bet is he got the win, right? He's got the win. His best bet is if somebody falls off a card and he gets that call up. He's been on the Ultimate Fighter. He has been in discussion with Dana White. He's a known name. The fans clearly want to see Joe Jannetty in the UFC. They think he got robbed. I personally think that Joe got robbed. The quickest submission in Ultimate Fighter history. Goes in there, he loses, he undefeated his entire career, loses one fight in the finale against a very tough opponent. These fucking dogs. And then the guys that he's beaten get signed. So, a little frustrating there. He's training over at AKA, alongside DC, along Habib. These goddamn dogs driving me fucking nuts. Alright, I don't know if Terry's going to be responding. I was really hoping that he was going to be calling in. Hopefully that he was going to be sitting by his phone ready. But I don't think he is. And he has such an amazing story. We will be getting him on soon. Retired Army as an infantryman. Retired due to life-threatening car accident. He's now a cage fighter making a difference and hoping people see that it's not the end. Very inspiring story. I've been trying to get him in on Pure Evil MMA for a very long time now. He's supposed to call in tonight. Maybe he'll message me right now. I doubt it. He was supposed to call in. A few minutes ago, I was waiting for his text. I sent him the number, but this is now the second time this has happened with Terry. You know, shit happens, so no love lost. If he messages me in just a little bit, I'll go live. But I think that does it for Pure Evil MMA, guys. We're almost at episode 200, which I'm extremely proud of. 2019, what an experience. We got a new laptop. We got an all-new setup and scene here. So I want to thank all of our listeners. Make sure to subscribe on YouTube, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Podbean. Guys, last but not least, I'm Evil Eddie from Pure Evil MMA. White knuckles till the end. Remember, without evil, there's no purity. Pave yourselves.